All right. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, everyone, for logging on, coming. Thank you for sharing if you haven't shared yet. I know there's more and more people that are sharing our services, and there are people that need to hear these good messages. So really good to see you all. I'd like to invite you tonight. Tonight is our prayer summit. Prayer summit at 7 o'clock. Get the log on in our Facebook group. Please, we need as many people as possible to pray. And if there's nothing else, can you even juggle things around in your schedule so we can pray? There are so many things that we need to have prayer for. One of them is we have our meeting with our city councilor on Tuesday. So it's so cool that we get to pray here on Sunday night. We're going to meet with our city councilor, Brenda Johnson, on Tuesday. So if you can take the time, please do that. Set that aside. Let's pray and dig into God's word in this huge subjects of trials and errors. So Heavenly Father, I know that you love us. You sent your only son to die on a cross so we can have a living relationship, a thriving relationship with you. And so God, I pray that we will understand your love mixed in with this life as trials just come in our lives. Lord, please open up our hearts. Help little bits just to click that need to click. We trust in you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. I remember somebody saying once that really hit me in the gut. You know, you can just listen to things and all of a sudden there's somebody says something, you go, oh, and this is what they said. They said, we are all one phone call away from our lives crumbling around us. We are all one phone call away from our lives crumbling around us. Somebody phones and said, you know your mom, you know your dad. Or, listen, I want to talk to you about your child. You can just almost feel your heart rate, building up. Or else you get that your doctor call and say, you know those tests that we took? I need to talk to you about that. You just go, oh, man, we are all just one phone call away from some part of our lives just falling around us. And I know this because I pray for you. I'm your pastor, and so I pray for you. And so many of you, I prayed with you from before you got the diagnosis all the way through when you're in the middle of it. And God is giving you wonderful little miracles and touches of himself, but still we're in just the horrible place of this world. I know there are some of you that are waiting for that phone call from the doctor, and you're going to have those discussions. I know some families just are being ripped apart, and I pray for you, and my heart goes out for you. And so, there's so much that gets pushed back and say, Dave, where is God in this? And that's a good question. I'm glad you're running to God instead of away from him. And so this is why we're doing this series. Trials in our lives and just errors that seem to pop up on the dashboard of your life continually. In week one, we talked about there are many reasons why trials come. I think it's just unhealthy to be able to say it's all because of lack of faith. It's all because God designed this purpose in your life. I think it's just bad to say it's because of that person. There's lots of reasons why stuff just happens. This whole world is deeply broken. Spiritual evil is alive and well and driving us deeper into pain. If you want to hear that message, go on our website and go to the messages, and you'll find it there. And if you want to sort of back up, you can do that. At the end of the day, we said, guess what? There's two things that we know. Number one, God is trustable. We found this out in Job. God just took Job through creation and said, look at my power, look at my creativity, look at my extravagant beauty. And Job had to say, listen, I don't know, I don't understand, but you are trustable, God. And now in the New Testament, we know that Jesus Christ died and rose again, and he went through terrible pain, going and being flogged. By his stripes, I am healed. And so we know that God is trustable. But the second thing we have to also know is the why. Well, why, God? And God simply says, you don't need to know. The thing you do need to know is, I love you, and I am trustable. But no, that's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You shouldn't eat from that one. All right? Just trust in me. I'm trustable. You don't need to know. Last week, the second week, we asked about, okay, hold on. The Bible's filled with all kinds of healing things. It's as if God wants to take away our pain. And you know what? I've experienced healing. We have seen it here at this church that physical healing has happened many times. And guess what? Not only physical healing, but emotional healing, where people, God has stripped off pain that has dogged people for years, and it's gone. It's gone. And so God has healed so many times. So what do we do with that? You know, we're in this painful world. Does God want us to be free from all pain? At the end of as we looked over scriptures, we found out at the end of the day, it's really not about healing. It's not really about healing. Life itself is about this thriving relationship with God. And what we found out, we get a little foretaste. We get a foretaste of 100% healing. We get a foretaste of complete emotional healing. We get a foretaste that will become face-to-face someday. But, you know, it's like eating the Pringles chips. And, yeah, I did not receive any Pringle chips. Okay, it's good. It's like eating the Pringle chips, but going, oh, I want more. God, I see your power. I see your love. I want more. Every time we listen to God and he comes through clearly, go, oh, you're awesome. I want more of you. I just want more of you. And so we get this foretaste that will someday become a face-to-face. And so what do we do now with physical, things? We ask for the now. Let's start praying for people to be healed. In my church renewal group, I remember one of the pastors saying this. He said, you know what? God is still giving out all the spiritual gifts. So there are gifts of healing that have been given out. They're there, but they're sort of not used because nobody actually experiments and actually tries to pray for other people. So ask for the now. But sometimes God says no, and so we praise him in the not yet. Ask him in the now, praise him in the not yet. So what are we going to talk about today? Great day. You've told us life is bad. Is it just like, suck it up, buttercup? Just like, wow, life is bad. I'm a Christian. Yay. But what do we do in the middle of the pain? What do we do in the middle of the pain? And Katie shared an awesome verse. That's a theme all the way through the New Testament. And here's this theme. Well, I'm going to read it in James chapter 1, verse 2. James chapter 1, verse 2. It's a theme that weaves its way all the way through scriptures. And it says this, James 1, 2. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind, or as one version says, of various kinds come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. First of all, I love that verse because it recognizes that trials come in various ways. It's not like, God has no, or life is, or my problem. It just says it's going to come in all kinds of different ways. It's just all kinds of stuff is going to happen for different reasons. But no matter why it came, no matter where it came from, consider it an opportunity for joy, for joy. It's interesting, as you read through the New Testament, you hear this word, rejoice in hardship, or be happy when. These all seem to be, we're supposed to be having a good time in the middle of bad times. It's like to rejoice in troubles. That seems to be this theme, rejoice in troubles. Okay. Dave, help me out with this one. Why? I get it, we're supposed to do it. So I can go, am I supposed to go, yay, God, my life has just fallen apart, whoa ho, try to put on some worship music and feel better? Well, I know it's hard. Let me try and flesh out a few reasons. We just in the next 20, 25 minutes, can we just flesh out a few reasons why maybe we could rejoice? And let these lead you to rejoicing. The end goal is to rejoice. But maybe just a few things can help us actually understand why we should rejoice. So why should we rejoice? Number one, because it draws you to God. It draws you to God. It draws you to God. Sorry. Our desire for a pain pain-free life is in all of us. I want that. I want to be pain-free. I've been having like pains in my body. I want them gone. I'm going to take the medicine. I'm going to go to my doctor to find out what's going on. I just would love to be pain-free. But guess what God's great desire is? His awesome great desire is for intimacy with his creatures, with you and me. That's his biggest desire, is for this intimacy with us. I like reading, doing some philosophy reading once in a while. And one of my best theologians slash philosopher is Roger Olson. And he wrote this interesting book about some of the basic ideas of metaphysics. And this is what he writes. He says, ultimate reality is supernatural and personal, but not human. In other words, some philosophers will say that ultimate reality comes back to reason, just our reasoning ability. Some people say, well, there is no ultimate reality, and so that's nihilism. There just is nothing in this world. But he says ultimate reality actually comes from the creator. So it is supernatural, because he's outside of nature, and he spoke this all into being. But not only that, but God revealed himself as a person, but not human, just not a human person. But this whole of reality is about supernatural God the person wanting to be close to us. God is ultimately a person at the core of everything. He has invited us into this living, thriving relationship with him. It's interesting. I think a lot of times we can live life because we don't see God, we don't see him. We can start to live life without being connected to him. And then that just ruins the heart of the Creator. And so he's willing for us just to experience the life that comes at us, not all from his hand. He's willing for us to experience life so that we could draw closer to him. That's the message of the book of Judges, isn't it? Like they go along and go, they forget God. You know, somebody attacks them, and they all come back, God help, and God helps them. And then they forget God because everything's good. And then somebody attacks them. And that's sort of the cycle of the book of Judges. I just, you know, spoiler alert, I gave away the whole book. Okay, here we go. Here's an interesting verse. I'm going to read it in 2 Corinthians 1:9. 2 Corinthians 1:9. And this is actually in a paraphrase, but I love this paraphrase. It helps us. It goes like this. We felt we were doomed to die and saw how powerless we were to help ourselves. But that was good. What? For then we put everything into the hand of God, who alone could save us. Do you hear that? It's like this thing where, wow, I thought life was over. I thought it was all done. It was all gone. But guess what? Guess what? And then we put it all into your hand, and now there's this closeness, this coming together. Pain wakens us up to trusting ourselves, to away from trusting ourselves and calling out to God. Now, I heard about this fascinating story. This is just some kind of fun story. But I loved it. They used to have these cod fisheries on the East Coast. And they used to try and transport cod to California. And this is before, you know, a lot of, they tried to do it by train. Could you imagine having shiploads of cod, salted cod? But said, well, no, we want fresh cod. So they actually tried to ship water with cod swimming around in it. But they ended up having about half the fish die on the other side. And so they shouldn't try. How can we get fresh cod to the West Coast? And so a biologist stepped in and said, this is how you do it. This is how you do it. Put a shark in the tank. I said, no, because by the time it runs from, you know, Boston to L.A., it's going to be one really big fat shark. And we're going to lose all our fish. He said, no, try it, try it. So they did. They put a shark in the tank. And guess what? It arrived, and yes, they lost a couple of the cod, but all the other cod were alive and thriving. Why? Because they spent the whole time going, ah, 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 getting away from the shark, and that gave them life and gave them ability to live. And so in the same way, as life happens, we could draw close to God. In fact, it says in Isaiah 43:2. I like Isaiah 43:2. When you pass through the waters, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. He's not saying, when you pass through the waters, don't worry, I'm going to calm the waters. They're all going to be gone. You're going to be good because I'm going to take away all your troubles. No, when you pass through them, and guess what? You get to pass through them. But guess the best part of it is, I'm going to be with you as you pass through them. It's that whole thing. We could all quote it, right? Psalm 23, right? Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Well, can you just take the path away from the shadow of death so I don't have to do that? No, I am with you. I am with you, and I will comfort you. I will help you. Again, what most comes our way is not always designed for good. It's because of our crazy life. But I will rejoice because it keeps me coming back to him. It reminds me and keeps me coming back to him. I will rejoice in troubles because it's about the Father and not about his gifts. It's about the Father and not about the gifts. There's one specific way that suffering happens in our lives. And I'm going to use this as a bit of an illustration. It's a sort of emotional deadness. There's an old saint called St. John of the Cross who wrote about this. He said, those who God wants to use greatly will take them through a time where everything just seems dead and you just don't feel anything. He likened it to weaning a child off the mother's milk and said, basically, okay, I've been with you, I've been helping you, I've been holding you close, but now I want to know, will you love me if you don't feel me? Isaiah 52:10. This is what St. John of the Cross quotes. Who among you fears the Lord and obeys the word of his servant? Let the one who walks in the dark, who has no light, trust in the name of the Lord and rely on their God. But Dave, yeah. Well, why is that? Why is that? Richard Foster writes about this. He says it strips us away from our dependence on just on our emotions. Our emotions aren't bad. Emotions are good things. But sometimes we rely almost exclusively on that. And what happens if they're taken away? Will we still love him? Probably the best illustration of this is with my daughter Kara. I remember I would travel, go off somewhere, and when she was real little, I would always bring her back a gift. I would always bring her back some gift, like something I picked up. And anyway, she'd say, hi, Daddy. And then she'd sort of look around for the gift to see, you know, what was coming, right? So that's cool, right? I remember one time, I forget where I was coming back from, they're in the airport. And I thought, man, I just went from place to place to place. There was no time to go shopping. And I just jumped in. All my flights were just, I had to run to connections. I couldn't shop in the airport. So I had nothing for her. And so I see her coming to me, and I remember the question, will she still love seeing me if I had no gift? Will she still love seeing me if I had no gift? And yeah, she did. But I wonder if the Father of our heart is like that, of our Heavenly Father is like that too. He loves to give good gifts. He talks about that. The Father loves to give good gifts. He does. But once in a while, actually, there's an interesting verse in the Psalms. He says, he will test us with his eyelids. It's just a weird way, right? He is there. Sometimes he will blink to say, will you still love me? Will you still love me? I think this is what happened with Abraham in asking to sacrifice Isaac. At the end of that story, Genesis 22:12, God says, now I know that you fear God. Now I know you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. And so so God, I don't understand. This is painful, but I'm going to love you no matter what. I remember going through my own dark night of the soul when I was in university, and I was reading the Bible. It was sawdust. Every prayer just bounced off the ceiling. There was nothing. There was no emotions. I would sit in worship and go, oh, really? I've heard that song again. I can't believe I would say that even to you, right? I went, there was no emotion. And then a wiser Christian talked to me about this. And he said, Dave, congratulations. God has seen that you're worthy to go through a dark night of the soul. He's preparing you. I go, great. Thanks a lot. And I remember after really thinking about that, God, I'm going to love you even though I don't receive a gift from you. And I stood out in the front campus of my university. I shouted out to God. I said, if I never feel you again, I will serve you because you are God. And that's what it is. I'm going to rejoice in troubles, not because I like troubles, but because I know it keeps me coming back to God. Because I know it's not about his gifts. It reminds me it's about him, it's about him, it's about him. Why else would I rejoice in my troubles? I rejoice in my troubles because I'm gaining the beauty of Christ. And that's what Katie was talking about. So much of Scripture aligns with if you endure well, you get all these great character qualities. In fact, the first verse that we read, James chapter 1, talks about that. Because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work. There's a lot about that. It's not just it's going to do it automatically just because you go through hard times. You can still be bitter. But the idea is you got to let it do work on you. You've got to let it do work on you so that you may be mature, complete, not lacking anything. Not lacking anything. Wow, you mean, hold on. If I go through trials of various kinds and I let it do work on me along with Jesus, I'm going to be complete and mature? Okay. I remember talking to some people about this, about the beauty of this character piece that comes. And I remember them saying, wow, that's awesome. What's so good about character? I'd rather not go through it than have character, right? Like, okay, awesome. Great, I get character. Like, no thanks. I'd rather not have character. But the Scriptures talk about it again and again. I'm going to read you one more verse about it. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11. It says, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. So it's like a later on thing. Maybe not even in the middle of it. Maybe in the middle of it you're going, but later on, it's going to produce some of this beautiful character. What's so great about character? All right. Let me try and break this down a little bit. What's so good about being patient? Have you ever met somebody that's a really, really patient person? Don't you go, ah, I wish I was like them? Because it seems like things don't faze them too well. They don't faze them badly. Do you know what a patient person is like in the midst of a relationship? You go, wow, that's awesome. Can I just be around a patient person? How about somebody that's loving and kind? Those are mature and complete character qualities. Have you been around somebody that's just loving and kind? Don't you go, wow, that's awesome. I wish I could be that way. Does it affect the relationships around them? Does it affect themselves? Of course it does. It is something that is a beautiful thing. And in God's eyes, it's worth more than all the gold of the world to have this character in us. And it actually helps us now on this planet. I'm going to give you a little secret too. It also helps us with our rewards in the next life. I always want to be thinking about eternity. Our heavenly rewards are actually contingent on our character. Our heavenly rewards are actually contingent on our characters. If you read 1 Corinthians 13, don't you? You know, if I had the best gift of tongues in the world, even that sounded like angels, if I didn't have love, then nothing, zero, zippo in my life. If I had the gift of giving, here, money, everywhere we go, yeah. In fact, I'm going to give my life. That's how awesome, what a gift of giving I have. I have the best gift of giving. But if I don't have love, then then come the next life, right, no reward whatsoever in heaven. Zippo zero. And so you go, wow. Let's break down what love is. Love is, if you memorize the verse, love is patient. Hold on. So God can do great things through me, but if I don't have a patient spirit, nothing? Yeah, nothing. Wow. There's another verse that talks a little bit about this, 1 Peter 4, 12 to 13. It says, beloved, don't be surprised by the fiery ordeal among you. It's like, whoa, bad things are happening. No, life is hard. Don't be surprised by the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange things were happening to you. But to the degree that you share the suffering of Christ, now he's specifically digging down to persecution, that suffering of Christ, keep on rejoicing. There it is again. Rejoice in the middle of this. Why? So that also at the revelation of his glory, you may receive you may rejoice with exaltation. In other words, when Jesus comes back, because you rejoice through this thing, you're going to go, okay, good. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Not only did you do things, you did them with the right attitude. Here's your reward. And so I go, man, okay, that's big for me. I'm not sure if it is for you. I don't want to lose that stuff, man. I've worked hard for that. I really don't want to lose that. I need to have the character of Christ in me. So I'm going to rejoice because I'm gaining the beauty of Christ. And every so often you meet somebody that is amazing, who've gone through deep waters. Yeah. I remember being in Vancouver with my family. We're on the way to another flight, and we had a lot of time, and so the three of us were there with our luggage, and we went to this church, right? And actually somebody came up to us and said, listen, we don't have a homeless shelter, because they saw all our luggage with us. No, we're in between flights. But at the end, there's this missionary that came up, and we just met him. I shook his hand. His hand was like gnarled and broken, and I found out that he had just got back from Islamic State, where he was put in prison and tortured for his faith. And wow. The beauty of Christ that shone through him. It was like a holy moment. It was amazing. There is a beauty that God is building in our life message that is going to shine out to others. And we're going to talk more about that next week. But we rejoice. Why? Because we're gaining the beauty of Christ. Lastly, we're rejoicing. Rejoicing actually is a decision that can change your life direction. Christians are accused of bearing their feelings. Come on, just snap out of it. Get over it. Start rejoicing, will you? Start rejoicing. So this is not about feeling bad about feeling bad, okay? Let's not say that. We are allowed to feel our feelings, all right? God gave us feelings. We can do that. But this rejoicing is a decision to change some direction in that. So allow yourself to feel the feelings. But then there's a time when God actually wants you to turn around. In fact, so much of the Christian life is about repentance or turning around. Paul makes this distilled a list several times in a couple of his letters. And in this list, there's always these couple words that show up. There's a list in Romans chapter 12, and 12:12 it goes this, like this. Be joyful in hope. Hope is the anticipation. Often it's the anticipation of heaven. Be joyful in hope of heaven. You go, I can hardly wait. What comes right after that? Be patient in affliction. How can you be patient in affliction? Because you're joyful in the hope of that anticipation of heaven. And then faithful in prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5 is another one where he just sort of like, boom, 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 boom. Here's how you live your Christian life. And it says this, always be joyful. Never stop praying. There's that praying thing again. And be thankful in all circumstances. And that's where the hard circumstances come in. For this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. I think we change direction through prayer. Through prayer, that anticipation of heaven. that giving thanks, that time where we get so close to God. We're saying, I'm sad, but God, you want me to rejoice. You want me to truly rejoice. So I'm going to ask, can you help me actually change some directions? I know being sad or angry is a momentary emotion, and that's great. It's not evil to have a momentary emotion. But a momentary emotion can turn into a road that you start to travel down. A road can start to turn into a lifestyle. And I understand, I battle with this all the time. Lately, I've been waking up at 6 o'clock in the morning, 6:30. That is not usual for me, just putting that out there. And the first thing that comes to my mind is not praise, okay? First thing that comes to my mind is our wonderful dealings with the city. God bless the city. And you know what? Let me tell you my emotions that come. Anger. It just is. Like, anger. Oh, man, we've been turned around and turned around. Yes, you may. No, you can't. Yes, you. Oh, I'm so angry. And you know what else? What other emotion I have? It's sadness. Just sadness. It's like, we are being robbed of this dream. I'm just like, this sadness presses on me. So, as I'm laying in bed, trying to get back to sleep for a few moments, I realize, okay, Dave, you're sad because sadness is a signal of loss. You're angry because angry is a signal of injustice. That makes sense. But I realize if I travel down the road of sadness, it's going to morph into self-indulgence. This is horrible. I'm living a horrible thing. My whole life is horrible. And now that it's going to quickly go that way. If I continue down the road of anger, it's going to morph into bitterness and rage. Bitterness and rage. I feel it knocking on my door. And so I need to stop. Rejoice in all things. Why? Because you're praying about everything. I'm going to take every thought captive to God. And I take it captive to God and say, okay, God, I am like really angry right now. What do you want me to do with that? Oh, yeah. I want to pray for the city staff. I want to pray joy for them. I want to pray good lives for them. I want to pray that for our city councilor. I want to pray goodness, because that's what you asked me to do. And guess what? Although I felt the emotion, I know why I feel the emotion. I'm not going to feel guilty about the emotion, but I'm not going to travel far down that road, because in prayer, I can come and bring these things to God and allow myself to rejoice in the midst of hard times. I'm sad. I'm just so sad. Okay, that I'm experiencing loss, Dave. That's why I'm sad. All right, but I could just get into like a depression, because God, there is nothing lost, because every single life that gets changed by this very broadcast, by our church, is eternal worth. So God, nothing is lost. Nothing is lost. You continue to bring people to you. You continue to disciple people. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And so rejoicing is an interesting thing. As we try and not go travel down roads too far, not to feel guilty about the emotion. It's there. It comes up. It's okay. It's a signal. It's a light. But if I walk down that too far, I need to rejoice and make a decision to change direction. So what do you say about this? Dave, I know I've asked you to remember a lot of things. You probably won't remember half of it. That's okay. But what I'm saying, if we can sum up through this, there's this old saying that says the only way out is through it. And that's because life is hard. And sometimes the only way out is through it. But as you're going through it, hold his hand as you go through it. Could we hold his hand as we go through it? Rejoice, why? Because it draws you to God. It draws you to God. God, I'm going to hold your hand because now you and I are closer in the midst of this. Rejoice, why? Because it's about the Father, not his gifts. I'm going to hold on to the hand of the Father and say, I love you, God. Even though I don't feel you again, even though I don't get the things I want, I'm going to hold on to you because you are good. You are good. I'm going to hold your hand through it. why should we rejoice? Because you're gaining the beauty of Christ. I said, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Let it have it real work in me. I want to have this real work happen within me. I'm going to hold your hand through this. Why should I rejoice? Because I'm going to change direction, and that's good. God, thank you. Through prayer, you're helping me change direction. I'm holding your hand through this. What does that really look like as we close up here? I think we practice in small trials. Can we practice this in small trials and irritations? All right? When we get an opportunity to go shopping again, and somebody is in front of you, you pick the shortest line, and they decide to pay with cash, and they decide to pay with nickels and dimes, and they're counting them out slowly, and you are running more and more late for a meeting, and everything within you is irritated. This is a good time to practice, right? This is a practice time. So now, slow down and say, okay, I want to hold your hand through this, God. What do you want to do? What are you saying to me? I'm going to pray for that wonderful woman who's counting out those dimes. And she needs you because that's more important than any meeting I'm going to. And God, I want to thank you so much that you're building the character of Christ in me. God, is there something that you want to say to me? I don't want to waste one trial. I don't want to waste it because I want to do it again. So I'm going to make sure everything I go through actually does its work in me, because it's just so important to rejoice in the midst of trials. So I'm going to hold his hand through it. Will you join with me in that? Let's pray. Our Father, I want to hold your hand through this time. I want to hold your hand and know that you, eternity, and the forever that you are bringing into people's lives is far more important than anything else. God, do your work in me. Thank you that I get to come to you again and again. Thank you, God, that it is about you, only you, and not the good gifts that you give. Lord, thank you for all these things. And help me, along with my friends online, help us to be able to hold your hand through it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Hey, good morning. We're back, and Q&A. I haven't been in for a while. Nice
I know,
to be
it
back.
Really, it's so good to see you back. Yeah, it is good.
We're so limited at the building with the number of people, and we've got our broadcast team and people interviewing, and so I haven't been in for a few weeks, so yeah, it's nice
so
to be
good.
Back here.
It is good.
So I have got so much scrawled on my paper from this topic. It's amazing. So just throw out a few things to talk about. I think one thing that struck out to me is the idea of development of character, right? And so God uses these. And I think there's like levels of character that you're not even aware of, right?
So
I know there's been
true.
Situations where it's like, I think I'm a pretty patient person. And then God takes you into a situation where it's like, I am not patient at all, because whatever, right? And so have you experienced kind of like 100%. Those deeper and deeper levels?
Yes, deeper and deeper. In different situations, I can be patient with one group of people, and it's great because I'm used to it. I know, throw me in a whole other situation, and no, like, you know, some of the stuff that we're going through now. And all of a sudden, like you said, two levels of it. Well, I have to be patient for that. I have to be patient for that. Like, I might be pretty good, you know, with people I know, but now, like, strangers, and now, like, people that seem to be pushing against me, like, okay, wow,
right.
Thanks, God.
Actually, Jeannie Harm, who's been doing this for a while, and said when she comes into these situations, she says, she prays, Lord, use us to make me more like you. And So on the levels of character, when we get to like, oh, I'm like Jesus, that we've all got obviously a long way that we can go for that.
Thanks, Jeannie.
Hey, your Dark Night of the Soul story struck a chord with me.
Yeah, you're saying that you had something similar. So.
Yeah, and so just to clarify, I think, for people a little bit too, is like Dark Night of the Soul is not... We kind of get in times in our lives where we're walking away from God, we're distracted from God, right? And we can feel that emotional deadness. But the Dark Night of the Soul is different in that it's you are pursuing God, right?
You're
chasing after God. You're reading scripture. You're praying. And despite all of that you're doing to come close to God, there's like this space and this deadness. And I don't know if I've ever told you this, but many years ago, I actually was at the alternative one night.
Wow.
Going through that. Going through that, what you were describing. And I actually, it got halfway through the night, and I had to get up and leave. Yes. Like, I literally, like, youth group, stay here. I'm going to be back. I have to. And so I left, and just like you had said, I literally went out and, like, yelled. Like, it's like, fine. You know what? If I never am going to feel you again, or if I don't hear you, or if I don't, right? I'm like, I don't care. I am going to serve you and love you. It doesn't matter. Like, it was like this weird, like, thing of, like, I'm so, like, but it just kind of got to that breaking point of, like, you know what, God, like, it doesn't, like, because I've been reaching out and, like, you know, like, I'm used to hearing God. I'm used to all that stuff. And it's like, you know what? It's all right. And maybe being angry in that moment, but it actually was like a, it actually was like a snap of, like, I'm going to do, like, God, Lord, I'm following you forever. I've committed my life to you. So regardless of my feeling or what I get from you, whatever, right?
Love
so that was at the alternative many years ago.
At the alternative. Anyway.
All right. One that I was going to ask you about was the idea of rejoicing in the midst of the feeling of sadness.
Yeah.
And so I know we're supposed to, and I know I can do that. And so for me, it's always like, am I actually, like, how do I know whether I am rejoicing? Like, I'm kind of like, how am I doing this? And so I've kind of put together, like, a little checklist for myself of, like, okay, I don't feel like I'm rejoicing. Like, if I'm sad or stressed or angry, it's like, I don't feel rejoicing, but I've got a little checklist. So a couple of my things were, it's like, okay, am I still thanking God? Am I still able to thank God in the midst of that situation? Am I able to praise God for who he is?
Yeah.
And do I trust God still, right? And so I kind of been able to go through, like, okay, yeah, like, I'm still, God, in the midst of this, I'm still thanking you, I'm still praising you, I'm trusting you. And so even though I feel not rejoicing, I think that for me is like, okay, I think that's the essence of rejoicing in some way. Do you have a thought on that?
Yeah, no, totally. I think every character quality that we have has both mind, will, and emotion in it. And so I can be loving to somebody. I can choose to love someone even though I might not feel it. So I can choose to rejoice without feeling rejoice. And, you know, hopefully the feelings will come. But sometimes I can lead by my will. I can lead by my mind. No, I'm going to choose to rejoice now. And instead, because rejoicing feels like, oh, that's just an emotion. But it is also our mind and will. That's like this gem. Yeah, all three. Yeah,
I think, rejoicing, that's actually, you said it great there. It's like, I feel like rejoicing is an emotion.
Yeah.
But
it
actually is way more than that.
It's more
right?
complex.
Same
than
as
that.
Love. I guess I've come around to understand love is more than an emotion, but rejoicing is as well. Awesome. All right, last one was, you know, there's times where we personally aren't experiencing trials, right? Like, I mean, I think. Actually, in this pandemic time, I think we all are feeling it in some way, but there's probably times in our lives where, hey, things aren't bad. So I want to just think about or ask you what you thought in terms of how do we come alongside other people who are suffering that? And so a verse came to mind for me from Romans 12. It's simple. It just says, rejoice with those that are rejoicing and mourn with those that are mourning. Mm. And so that kind of struck me, and actually a confession. This week, actually, I was in a conversation with someone who was expressing a sadness about something, and I did not mourn with them. I basically said, you know what, sometimes you just got to suck it up, and here's what you can do to fix it. Like, I am a fixer person, and so as we were sitting here today, I'm like, oh my gosh, and they were quite sad that I did not enter into that mourning.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that was like a huge, like, this morning, like, oh yes. So in terms of coming alongside people, I think the fix and the you know, encouragement comes later, but probably to start off, mourning alongside with them probably goes a long way.
I think so. I think a lot of this relates to our personality. I think some of us have a bent to be feeling, and so what's helpful, we can mourn with people who mourn really easily, but unfortunately, sometimes we can travel down the road with them, and we can go backpacking with them, and we can turn it into a lifestyle with them, and we can mourn all over, and our whole life will be mournful. Some of us are more thinking people, and you go, yeah, well, suck it up, buttercup. And so we're bad with starting the journey of mourning, which is good. We're good with helping them turn around, but the whole start of the journey, I think both of us have our our weaknesses and strengths.
And it's a little bit of situational, right? Like in some situations, there's a situation now that is just someone is going through, and I literally am mourning along with them, and so I'm just praying for that situation, but also just praying what we talked about here, like God, just that they would feel your presence, right?
But
sometimes there's situations where it was like this other one, it's just like it caught me off guard because it was like, okay, why would you be mourning about that? Like you need to block it off and put it in a compartment and like deal with it, right? So it's like I think we all have different things that we can kind of mourn with people. And so anyway, I will aim to keep that verse in my mind.
And confession is good for the soul. Yeah, yeah. We're church about
confession
too. So you
actually probably they're watching and they probably know who they are. So.
Well, thanks so much, Andrew. And it's good to have us like bantering back and forth up here. Before I send you off, just a couple reminders. One, again, is our prayer summit tonight. If you're a leader at Church in the Rock, please, can you lead by coming and logging on? If you are new at Church on the Rock, come and get to know some people because you get put into rooms to pray with each other. It's not just about our building. We're going to be praying about so many other things. So please got that for tonight, 7 o'clock. It'll be an hour, maybe an hour and 10 minutes. So just set that aside. And as something else, I was talking to Cara, our youth pastor, and she has this great ministry of adopt a student, and by surprise, she got 30 students to say, I want to be adopted, and it's this going to create this web of relationships. She needs three more adult males to be able to come. I know she's asked a lot of you, and a lot of you can't, but if you have a sense where you go, wow, I would like to come alongside a young person and encourage them, all you have to do is send a text or one thing a week, pray for them, and at the end, between now and June, send up a package. But it's really just a weekly encouragement and prayer for us, so I got that. So I'm going to pray to let us out, and just thank you again for logging on and being a part of our community next week, right? We get to go back, right?
Yeah.
Woo! Okay, for some of you, you'll stay watching online. Some of you, us, will be back at Calvin, which is exciting. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you again for being with us, that we can hold your hand through this, through whatever we're going through. And Lord, help us to be able to hold tightly onto you so you can develop us. Lord, thank you for this community that we can talk back and forth and learn from each other. You are good and amazing. So thank you, God. Continue to use our church in this community and beyond. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. See you next week.